so much, Pastor, and I certainly want to thank Brother Thompson for sharing with you all about my age, and I don't know how I got up in this. I need to tell myself I'm up in that stage, you know, this 3 years of being off the road a little bit. I begin to realize just how old I just come in this, what is it, a few days, I'll be 77, so I need to tell my body that, tell my mind and body get together, but we appreciate that. But it's been a joy. I got saved late in life, and at the age of 30, called to preach at 32, and started church at 35, and but if, you know, if the Lord were to take me home, to be able to see my son Kenny and Mike and what they've done and how God's using them, you know, that's where you start with your families. It's always a joy to see family involved in the work of God, and that's what it's all about. And we appreciate you all and appreciate the opportunity to be here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and trust that God will continue to work in a very, very special way and continue to bless this church. And whatever you guys have planned for the future, that God will certainly use it in a special way. And having a heart for missions is what it's all about. So thank you all for having us. And you pray that God will continue to bless our family. And I appreciate you praying for my son, Michael, and also for my son, Kenny, that God will certainly bring him back to full strength. He is really being used of God all over this world. And we certainly thank the Lord for him and God sparing his life. As a matter of fact, Tuesday will be 3 years ago that he was one of the first COBRA fellows to be almost on a respirator to walk out of Fairfax Hospital alive. And he was one day just a coin flip from being on a ventilator, and he asked God to be able to give him another day, and then flipped it around the next day, and he walked out of there, and what a blessing that was. That's one of the toughest times in life is going through that, but thank God for that he's in control, and he has used him the last several years, just thousands and thousands of people he's ministered to, and we appreciate your prayers. Many of you know him, so thank you so much for your prayers for our family. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. And once you find your place in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, if you're physically able, I want you to stand here, and I'm just going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to talk about what the Lord's laid upon our hearts during this missions emphasis. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. But Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We couldn't find the words to thank you enough for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for blessing your churches and blessing your people. Thank you for what you're doing with this missions endeavor of this local New Testament church. Thank you for them having a heart for world evangelization and church planting, and oh, how you've blessed that over the years. Thank you so much for Brother Thompson. Thank you for his parents and the impact they had on my life, and I pray you'll bless them in a very special way. Now, Father, I pray that you would take us now as your servants. I pray that you cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. It is believed that when Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy, his son in the faith, he was in his last imprisonment, a second imprisonment, getting ready to pass off the scenes. I mean, he'd been, I believe, the greatest missionary on the face of the earth, and now he's in jail. He's about to be killed for the reason of just getting the gospel around the world. And we find him now in this situation. He's an older man and about to leave the scene, but he begins to think. I guess I've never been in jail or in prison, but I would imagine you have a lot of time to think and think about some things. But as an old man about to pass off the scene, you know what he began to think about? His ministry and all the men and women who had a part in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You know, I'm finding out as I've gotten older now and been around for some 47 years as a Christian and preaching a lot, you find out that you can't do it by yourself. You find out that the ministry of God requires men, women, boys, and girls saved by the grace of God that God can use for his honor and glory. So we find the Apostle Paul here reflecting. He's had, according to the book of Romans chapter 16, he mentioned some 25 men and women who had served with him. Three of those men often came across his mind and across his thoughts were named Demas, Mark, and Luke. During his final days, now picture this, his final days of life, he is focusing on those people who had helped him do what God had called him to do. You know, as I get older, I was just thinking a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, I got a call from a young lady who used to be in our church. I remember in 1984 when her dad came to church and got saved, and when we knocked on the door, was her mom, and she got saved. And he came to church and became a bus captain and served the Lord faithfully. Passed away several weeks ago of a heart attack. And they said that at his last days, he was still doing what he had done in 1984 when he came to Crossroads Baptist Church, still serving the Lord. So as I travel sometimes and as I think sometimes, I focus on people. And unfortunately, when you've been in the ministry some 40-some years, as you begin to think about people, whether it's somebody that's sick or somebody that's passed away or something that's happened, you begin to focus on what part they played in the ministry that you had. And here is Paul thinking about these three men, Demas, Mark, and Luke. And as I can imagine him thinking, each one of them brought a different thought to his mind. As he thought about Demas, he began to focus on what Demas had done, working with him and his attitude and his actions and the good things he'd done. As he thought about Mark, he must have thought about what Mark had done and what Mark represented in his ministry. When he thought about Luke, he must have thought about what Luke had meant to his ministry. In other words, this gives him a portrait of what it's like to serve the Lord through the people that worked with him. And I find here, as I think about this church, or I think about missions, I think about ministry, I think about the ministry I've been involved in, I find myself focusing on the kind of people God uses in the work of a local New Testament church and their actions from the beginning until the end will impact what happens on a local church. I want us to think for a few moments about missions. And I want us to look at these three men and their relationship to the Apostle Paul. The greatest missionary we find in the Bible is now focusing on these three men and their actions and what it meant to the ministry. Now let's think for a few moments. Sitting here at Fellowship Baptist Church are men, women, and young people. What you do, what you become, how you behave, how hard you go at it, how slack you are, how you end up, whether you stay with it, whether you leave it, whatever you do will impact the efforts of this local church to evangelize the world. And I want us to take a look at these three men this morning, and then I want you to think about their actions and how it impacted the work of the Apostle Paul as he thought from the very beginning until the end, his last days of his thought, he focused on the actions and impacts of men who had worked very closely with him all of those years in the ministry. So I want to preach a little bit this morning on three kinds of servants in the local church and how they impact the mission of that local church. And I'm going to give them some names, and I'm not going to put anybody in any category here this morning in Fellowship Baptist Church. So if you don't fit anywhere in these three categories, then throw out a fourth one here and have them flash it on the screen, and I'll add another point. Okay? But somewhere in these three actions and ministry, we're going to find every man, every woman, every boy or girl here, and I want you to show you what their actions, how they impacted Paul's ministry, and then I want to ask yourself, how is my ministry, my actions, impacting the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church? Let's go to the first one here in our text, and I want to look at this man called Demas. He said in verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." What is it about Demas? What kind of a man was Demas that Paul thought about doing these days? I want you to first of all notice that he, at one point in time in the ministry, according to Colossians 4:14 and Philippians 24, he had a position of working with the Apostle Paul that would give him the characteristics of this. He was a worshiper of Christ. I mean, the pastor said something about this morning. How important it is that every time we walk into a local church, above everything else, we've come here to worship. Demas, at one point in time, Paul thought about him. I can remember when Demas worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was Demas considered to be in that position a worshiper of Christ, but he would have been a worker in the local New Testament church. We find out that he was the kind of man that walked consistently and witnessed courageously. Now, here's the title I've given Demas. I call him a renegade. He said, "Well, that's a horrible name to call a servant of God." I mean, he was a renegade. He started out in a position of worshiping Christ, working in the church, witnessing courageously, walking consistently. That was what Paul thought of when he thought of Demas. I mean, how it must have grieved the soul when he said Demas at one time walked and worked and witnessed. I mean, he was the kind of man that helped me do what I accomplished for God. That was his respectable position. But I want you to notice his problem, his regretful problem. It says in verse 10, he loved the world, for Demas hath forsaken. He left the work and departed to Thessalonica. He looked for wealth some other place. Let me tell you something here, and I can speak from experience. I pastored for 30 years and been a part of my church for another 2 years. And let me tell you something, nothing is more grieving than when you have someone with an attitude like Demas. Start out worshiping, start out working, start out witnessing. I mean, one of your best soul winners, one of your best givers, and all of a sudden, something in the world that he loves more, that he loves the work of God, and he walks away. Let me tell you something. There is no church, any place in the world today that stays long enough where it won't be grieved by people with an attitude like Demas. Demas started out worshiping, working, walking, and witnessing. Brother Freeman, there are churches I've been to. I preached a church in Arizona for 13 straight years. It seems like there wasn't a year that you didn't go to that church that you didn't find somebody that used to work, witness, walk, and worship in the church that's no longer there. They find some other place, some other thing to be able to do than to stay with the work of God. Demas's in churches hurt the missions program of a local church. Oh, you ought to say, God, help me. Help me never. Help whether Brother Baldwin comes back here or anybody else comes back here. Every time we have a missions conference, God, help me be doing what I've always done. I've come to worship. I've come to work. I come to witness. I come to walk consistently for God. And I don't ever want my pastor or anybody else, as time passes away, to look back at me and be grieved because I had actions like Demas. Demas was a renegade. Too many renegades were killing the local New Testament church. More and more and more every day. I'm talking about good people. The devil is on the pry, trying to destroy the people of God. And we've got people finding every excuse they can find to be able to walk away from good Bible-believing churches where they used to work and witness and work and worship and walk away from the work of God. And then I want you to notice the second one, a man by the name of Mark. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark in verse 11. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Demas was a renegade. He was once in a high position, standing high with the Apostle Paul. But the problem was he loved the world more than he loved the things of God. And when you love the world, you'll leave the work and look for fulfillment in something else. It hurts the ministry of a local church, kills the mission program of a local church. Now, Mark was different. Mark was not a renegade. I call Mark a runaway. A runaway. Yes, there are a lot of Christian people in local churches that perform like Mark. Mark, at one point in time, was very resourceful. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 12, we find that Mark went with Paul on this missionary journey. Now, I mean, they were excited to be able to have him. As a matter of fact, he was so resourceful till they had prayer meeting in his house. Later on in that chapter, in verse 25, there came a point in time where there was dissension. You know, Mark was okay on the first trip, but when things got a little tough, then he went back home. We find that he was a runaway kind of a Christian. It's the kind of Christian you find that get involved with the work of God. I start giving until things get tough, or I start working and find out they want too much out of me. They're asking too much, and we find ourselves one time on fire for God, but something in life brings us to the point where he runs away. In other words, he rebelled against something and became a runaway. But I want you to notice back in verse number 11, the exciting things about Mark that was different than this, than Demas. It said in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's a man at one time was resourceful. Something in life caused him to be rebellious. But the Apostle Paul at one time not only looked at his resourcefulness, had a problem with his rebellion, but all of a sudden now he thinks of them. He says, bring Mark. He's thinking about his restoration. In other words, he's saying, Mark started out on fire for God. Something in life called him to rebel against the things of God. But bring him. Something happened with Mark. Either Mark got some things right, Mark saw what he had lost, and he returned and became resourceful in the work of God. I'm sad to say that so many people in our local churches start out resourceful, but something causes them to rebel against the things of God, and they run away. But thank God that we serve a God of second chances, a God who's saying, I may have started out, something caused me to fall, but I'm coming back. I have a young lady in our church. She works for the White House and in a pretty high position. At one point in time, she grew up in our church. She was like a second daughter to me. She grew up in our church, had two little children, put children in our school, and for some reason, just sang in our choir, just on fire for God. And then something happened. You take this person who sings in your choir, loves your family, loves the local church, testimonies, got upset, took a little two little children, and ran away for 8 long years until one Sunday she happened to show back up in church, and God got a hold of her heart. And God started reminding her of what it was like to be on fire for God. Start reminding her of what it was like to serve God. Start reminding her of how good it was to be in the local church. And she's come back several years ago, and you're talking about somebody who's on fire for God. Love God. Her kids are grown now. Both of her kids are in our local church and serving God, working in the ministry there. She ran away, but was restored and became more faithful to God than she was at the beginning. Thank God that we have men, women, boys, and girls in the work of God will come to the point we start out resourceful. Something causes us to become rebellious. We run away, but there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven said, there's restoration. I'm a God who of second chances. There are things that I can do. And thank God, I'm old enough to have seen runaways come back to God and get on fire for Almighty God. Think for a moment. I had a missions conference one year, and there was a man in our church. He was a leader involved in ministry. And you know, when you make these missions, I should talk to you about you, Brother Thompson. When you take these commitments from people, and you find somebody every once in a while that put in what you call a big one. You ever had a big one, you know, maybe kind of the guy certainly capable of giving these several hundred dollars a week to missions, but it was just something about you know, the service and all, it just made me as a pastor kind of leery about whether I ought to count that one. But I mean, he just filled out this faith promise card and put this big amount on there, what's going to give. And you know, if you start counting all your money and you're going to support missionaries and you're counting on somebody giving several hundred dollars a week and they don't give anything, it kind of gets your word. So I just said, God, we're going to hold off on this one for a while and just kind of rethink this. And sure enough, all of his bragging and all that he's going to do, and it wasn't more than just a few weeks that he made that commitment and ran away from the church with some excuse to go to another church, and soon ran away from that church, and soon ran away from another church, and not even in the ministry right now, even though he started out resourceful, serving God, on fire for God. We need to be very, very careful that we understand that missions depends upon my actions and how I serve God. Paul, the greatest missionary on the face of the earth, thought about Demas and how he forsaken. Thought about Mark, how he ran away. But then he thought about Mark, how resourceful he was in his last days. Bring him back. Bring him back. He can do something for the ministry. Thank God that runaways can come back and be even more resourceful than they were at the beginning. So we find Demas. Demas was a renegade. He hurt the Apostle Paul. He hurt the work of God because he loved the world more than he loved the work of God. John Mark ran away. He grieved the heart of Paul, but he brought joy when he returned. But then he says in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. I call Luke the reliable servant. I mean, Luke is very interesting. We know that Luke recorded the book of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. I want you to take a look at this man called Luke. Here's Paul in his last days, about to die and leave this world. He thought about Demas, who'd become a renegade. He thought about Mark and how he ran away and got joy because he returned. But oh, what he must have thought about when he thought about Luke. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. I want you to turn back to the book of Acts, chapter number 16 for a moment. Let's learn something about this man called Luke. Luke, Acts chapter 16. And look at verse number 7. And I want you to notice the structure of how all the words in the Bible mean something. Every single word is inspired. Verse number 7, I want you to notice Luke writing here. After, you see that the next word, what does it say? They, after they were come to Mysia, notice the word again, what? They essayed to go in to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered, notice the word, them not. So he's writing here about this Macedonian call. Then he said in verse 8, and they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. Now here comes the vision that we preach so much about. The vision of the Apostle Paul that the Macedonian called. He said, and a vision appeared to whom? Paul, in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. All right, this is what he saw in the vision. Verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, what's the next word? We. All of a sudden, we find Luke going from they to them to us. Now going to we. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called what? Us for to preach the gospel unto them. I tell you what's so special about Luke. He started strong. In other words, something got a hold of him that all of a sudden what Paul was doing was not just them doing it. All of a sudden it became us doing it. Would to God that we come to the point in our lives where we would hear something about preaching instead of saying the missionaries are doing it. We ought to be doing it. He started strong. No wonder at the end he could say only Luke is with me. Let's go to chapter 27. In the book of Acts. The first thing I notice about Luke is he started strong. He went from seeing what they were doing to what we are doing. Here we find in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is in a storm. And very quickly, I wanted you to notice as he writes here what's going on. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 27, "And when it determined that we should sail," down in verse number 2 at the end, "of Thessalonica with us." We find in verse number 3, "the next day we," verse number 4, "and we launched," verse number 5, "and we had sailed," and verse number 6 at the end of it, "us therein," and verse number 7, "we had sailed." Go over to chapter number 28, after the boat has wrecked, and all of a sudden these 276 men escape with their lives. Notice in verse number 1, "and when they were escaped, then they knew that they were in the land called Melita." Notice verse 2, "and the barbarous people showed us." Here was Luke, started strong, but stayed during the storms. Would to God that what we get a hold of that excites us about the things of God, when the storms come, may it be said of us, we not only started strong, but we stayed with it through all the storms. And let me tell you something, God's people are dropping like flies. I mean, we're every day there's something going on. I realize that it's post-pandemic. We had a horrible 3 years and a lot of things going on. But God still wants his people to be faithful when it comes to the work of God. He's still looking for Mr. or Mrs., a young person reliable, who will start strong, stay during the storms, because Luke is what we need today if we're going to reach this world. A steadfast Christian who's sitting there with the Apostle Paul, that he started strong, stayed with him during the storms, and now is steadfastly doing what he's done from the beginning. Now, I said to you a few moments ago, in the local church, when it comes to your commitment to world evangelization, when it comes to experience, when it comes to exposure, when it comes to being in churches as small as 2, as large as several thousand, I'm telling you, as churches, we have a history of not accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish because we have too many renegades, too many folks that start out in a wonderful position of worshiping God, working in the church, walking consistently, witnessing courageously, but the pressures of this world, Satan and what he's trying to do, the attacks on the family, all of a sudden causes good people to leave the work of God because they love the world. Churches have too many renegades. There are too many runaways. The Christian life is not always easy, but it's the most rewarding work you'll ever find. I've never been like I hear some preachers say, I get up every Monday morning and want to quit. I've never thought about quitting. I get up every Monday morning and I thank God for what he did on Sunday and looking for what he's going to do the next day. You know, when you get a call into ministry, there's no quitting. There's no turning back. There's no running away. Our churches are hurt because we have too many runaways. Start out resourceful, but rebel when things get a little tough and run away. Thank God that churches also have a whole bunch of restored people who come back and get on fire for Almighty God. But where and what could we do in our local churches all over the world if we had men and women and boys and girls could be like Luke. It's not a they or them. It's an us thing. What I see, what I hear, what God has done in my heart has so moved on me that I want to be a part of it. I'm going to start strong. I may slow down a little bit physically. I may not be where I used to be, but I'm going to start strong. And when the storms come, this thing about good enough to keep me out of hell is good enough to keep me serving. And I'm going to stay with it when all the storms come. And when it's all said and done, if Jesus comes back, that'd be great. If he takes us out of here, that would be great. But I want them to say, I've been steadfast. I don't ever want my pastor or somebody to look and say, he used to do this. He used to serve this. They used to be here, but they're no longer here. They're either a renegade or a runaway. Renegades usually don't come back. Runaways do. And I don't know where you are today, but I tell you one thing. Pray that in this world in which we live today, you could never be a renegade Christian because you hurt the cause of the local church. Maybe you've run away from some things. Maybe you started some things like your missions giving and didn't keep that. Thank God there's restoration. But God help me to be like Luke. Start strong. Stay during the storms. Be steadfast in this thing called serving Almighty God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Let me ask a couple questions. How many men, women, boys, and girls in here can honestly say, I may not be like Luke, don't claim to be, may not even be like Mark, may not even be like Demas, but one thing I do know, I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hands for just a moment? Hands all over. You may put them down. How many of you just raised your hands and say, preacher, I'm not a renegade because I'm still here. I may have run away from some things that I need to return to. I'm thankful that my God is a God of second chances. But I'm certainly desirous of being like Luke. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer? If that's you as a Christian, would you slip your hands up? God spoke to my heart. You may put them down. The last question. How many would say today, preacher, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a renegade because I've never been a Christian. Can't be a runaway. Can't be reliable. But one thing I am certain, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? If that's your prayer with no one looking around, would you slip your hand up for just a moment? Pray for me, man, woman, boy, girl. I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Anyone like that? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the pastor to come. I don't know what you normally do to your invitation, but I'm going to pray and ask God to be able to speak to hearts.